The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Raj, how long is this? This is like how long?
An hour.
Okay. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer, and this is the After WrestleMania Raw After Show live on Wrestling Inc. And I'm not alone. I am here with the boss man, the fearless leader, El Jefe himself, Raj Geary. And I'm also with the hilarious Dan St. Germain. Fellas, some call it the biggest Raw of the year, the show after WrestleMania. But before we get into everything that happened tonight, while we wait for people to kind of shuffle in and find their seats, how do you guys feel about how WrestleMania went, stand and deliver? Just real quick, any good stuff, any hot takes from the week in wrestling we just got through?
I thought WrestleMania night one was really good. I thought night two wasn't as good, but there was some decent stuff on it. And I thought Takeover was really good. This Raw after WrestleMania was the worst show that they put on the last week, without a doubt. So
I thought the weekend was great. It was great seeing fans back. Just it just kind of felt like there's light at the end of the tunnel and we're getting there. So love the weekend. I agree with you where I thought night one was better than night two, but I still thought night two after the Orton stuff was really good. So fun weekend, I agree with you. If you look at the takeovers and everything else we've had this past week, tonight's Raw was probably the weakest show. And, you know, Raw after Mania, I wish they would have found a way to do it in front of some fans.
I wish they just had one surprise besides the Viking Raiders, right? Was there anything else? I mean, Charlotte came back to the promo, but, you know, it just didn't have that. This is the lamest Raw after WrestleMania. Like, because at least, like they didn't even try this time. They didn't even try to surprise us, you know? Which I kind of wanted something.
Yeah, there was nothing that felt organic or like a twist or anything that really, it's just kind of, everything is just kind of continuing. But
yeah.
You know, I might be the outlier here. I thought this was a great show. I loved it. I thought there was so much good stuff.
It was a bad show. I just didn't think it was special. I should say that.
I agree. I didn't think there was anything bad on, or not much bad on here, but it was for Raw after Mania. I think your expectations are a lot higher.
My expectations were high.
That is, I'll give you guys credit. Yeah, when you have your expectations pretty high for post Mania, because that's when they have their Brock Lesnar's come back and all that kind of stuff. And we didn't get any of that. But overall, I thought it was a good show. But I want to ask your opinion. There's a couple differences here. And one was we went to fans and now we're back to the Thunderdome. I felt like that was a little jarring. I thought that was a little tough. Like, I felt like, oh my God, fans are back. It's all over. We've got people again. And now we're back to no fans. That was rough. And we also had a new broadcast person, Adnan Virk, with Corey Graves and Byron Saxton. How'd you guys feel about those guys all together now?
I liked that. I liked the new guy, Adnan. I thought he did a really, I totally understand why Vince listened to him, because he's very smooth sounding without, and complimenting what's going on without taking away from what's going on. So I thought he did a really great first night.
Yeah, I think for a first night, you know, it's weird how they sometimes will just throw guys into the deep end of the pool. You know, he's never done wrestling commentary. So you think, have him do main event for a few weeks, you know, let him kind of figure out the system and WWE verbiage. You know, there are things he was saying here and there that, you know, Vince doesn't even allow. Like, you're not supposed to say blood. And he said, he said blood and bloodthirsty. And, you know, just little things like that where he'll figure it out. I thought he got better as the night went on. He definitely got more and more smooth, more and more comfortable. So, but whenever we've seen them bring in someone from the outside to commentate wrestling, it usually doesn't last that long.
Yeah, I thought he had a great baseball sound. It sounded like I was listening to a baseball commentator.
That's what it was.
Sounded super professional. Sounded super clear. Everything was great. It did feel like him and Corey and Byron weren't on the same energy level at many points throughout the night, but it's their first night. I give him a pass. Real quick, we got a couple of super chats. We have Jody Shauna Jenkins with, "Well done, Raj. Zane last week, and now the Berserker." So, and then John Cena's bald box says, "Worst Raw after Mania possibly ever. Not a single interesting thing happened, and there's nothing to look forward to going into the post-WrestleMania season." So, hey, maybe not all sunshine and lollipops. Maybe I'm the outlier here. Like I said, maybe I'm wrong. But let's get into it. Let's get into the actual show. We start off with Bobby Lashley and Matt Riddle. Bobby Lashley shows up in an you know, looking amazing. Probably one of the few people that can pull off an orange suit, by the way. Gets approached by the original bro, Matt Riddle, actually pulling some lawyer-type stuff, quoting the defendant and saying everyone can have a shot. For as dumb as he is, he sounded pretty smart here until he got what he wanted, which was a title shot to start things off. Raj, I know you hate Matt Riddle. How did you think he did this time now, actually kind of quote-tweeting the champ?
And look, I like Riddle as a wrestler and in the ring. I just hate his character and what they do with it. And so I loved seeing him just get the crap kicked out of him. I mean, this was about as much of a squash match as you could do. I mean, I think Riddle had like one little, you know, splurt of offense there at the end, and the rest was just all Lashley, just dominated him. So thought it was effective to building Lashley, keeping that going. So I this was probably the best thing on the show.
I love Bobby Lashley, so I liked it. You're right. He really just kind of beat down Riddle before the match started, beat Riddle down during the match. I know Riddle was the U.S. champ for a bit, but when it comes to like full-on dubs, Riddle hasn't done very well. I'm a fan of Riddle personally, but I personally worry about his long-term prospects for a guy that never gets clean wins. Lashley, on the other hand, continued to look indestructible as a super champ, kind of something the other champs were starting to look like. Dan, how do you feel about Riddle?
I like Riddle. I think that they kind of have to transition into a more serious character, and they should do that. But I haven't been as critical about the whole Days of Confused gimmick as some other people. I was a little confused about the layering tonight. Why wouldn't they? I feel like that they should have had, you know, I know people get sick of the whole 20-minute promo to start a Raw out, but I feel like that they really should have had the Orton, Braun, Drew stuff right after the Riddle-Lashley thing. I'm sorry, right after the Riddle-Lashley backstage segment, and then save the, you know, Lashley-Riddle match for the middle of the show and then put that as the main event. So that was my only bump with it. As far as what Riddle needs to, I just Vince doesn't think UFC is like a real thing. So I think that's like, I mean, because he's the shoot toughest guy they have on the roster, right? Nobody really cares, and he fights like, you know, a main event babyface. His promos aren't, but he definitely wrestles like a main event babyface. So we'll see what happens.
Do you remember back in the day how Vince used to love watching Enzo get the crap kicked out of him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could kind of tell he likes that with Riddle. He just likes seeing Riddle get beat up. So, you know, that's going to be a tough thing to get out of.
You know, it's one of those things I used to always say, like, it must be tough to be in that position. But now I think of it, hey, you're on TV. You're winning as far as I'm concerned. But things aren't looking good for the original bro. Bobby Lashley, on the other hand, seeming to look stronger and stronger every time he's on. Couple more super chats I want to get to before I forget here. Daniel Brooks, Raj, where's the diva? She would tell this show off. Inquiring minds want to know, Raj, where's diva at?
She will be on tomorrow. She will be on our new, we will now have a Tuesday podcast. So she will be on every week with Glenn and Alfred Conway.
There you go. And then Tyrone Dawkins says, Bray said no more clout chasing three times. No way Vince has ever heard that saying. I don't know. I feel like Vince is secretly in touch with that kind of stuff for some reason. I don't know if it plays out on TV as much, but I feel like he gets what clout chasing is. Do you guys think he knows what clout chasing is?
Well, I don't know if I know what clout chasing is.
I don't think I know.
What does that mean? Like chasing like respect or?
As someone who clout chases myself, I think it's just trying to like, it's trying to find ways to make yourself seem important.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So basically, what it sounds like.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of clout chasing, by the way, we had a tag team match early on in the night. Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander, no longer part of the Hurt Business, but no one told their wardrobe person. They had a match with a returning Viking Raiders. I thought it was really cool to see the Viking Raiders come back. It was a good surprise. And for my money, when they're going, they're the most fluid big man tag team going. But the bad news for poor Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander, who can't afford to be losing matches just after they break off on their own, did lose the match. We said there was no big surprises, yet here is a returning tag team. Dan, do you feel like this didn't live up as a surprise to you?
This didn't, because I just saw Eric in a match on Friday, and I think that like having him come back that fast, like why put him in that Andre, the battle royal? Why put him in that battle royal? I think that kind of took some of the newness off for me. But I tweeted this during the match. I was like, this is a match. This is a four way to see who Vince has the least amount of plans for, you know, I guess like a win over the Hurt Business is good, but I think it's less good for them and more rough for the Hurt Business, man. I feel like if I was not if I'm Shelton because I'm older, but if I'm Cedric, I'm exploring my options right now.
Yeah, I still do not get why they split up the Hurt Business. It wasn't hurting Lashley. It wasn't bringing him down. It wasn't having any negative effect on him. And now by splitting him up, you're basically bringing Shelton and Cedric down the card when they were doing, you know, pretty decent before that. So all you're doing is lessening star power as opposed to, and who knows? Yeah, I mean, they aligned them with Mace and T-Bar. Maybe that's their big thing now is to go with those guys. But it just sucks to see where Shelton and Cedric are because they felt like they had some real momentum there for a little while.
I think they could have been one of my favorite tag teams in a long time. I really love Cedric and Shelton together. But you know what? I think, frankly, us wrestling fans, we're getting a little bit spoiled because we've been asking for them to build up the tag division for so long. And isn't this how you do it? You have a struggling division like this tag team division. You got two teams. Both of them need to get wins. Both of them are good in the ring. And now you have one of them that, to some degree, can lay claim to being a contender. Isn't this kind of what the WWE is supposed to be doing with their tag team division?
WWE is going to hire you for PR after this podcast. I don't know, man. Like, look, it really just depends on how they're used next week. Like, do I think that the Viking Raiders, do I think that Vince sees them as this unstoppable force that they were in NXT and how they were in, you know, New Japan or on the Indies? No, I think he still sees him as the guy who can, you know, use telekinesis to get a turkey leg. I think that that's like what he sees that team as still. But maybe I'm wrong, you know. And he, you know, like I clearly, you know, all four guys. I mean, at least three out of the four guys. Shelton's a little older, have a ton of upside, but we'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah, I think. I mean, we kind of got a glimpse of where they were headed before Ivar got injured. You know, they, like you said, the turkey leg stuff and. And, you know, the contest with the Street Profits. So,
and they lost that feud.
And, yeah, they did. They lost it every turn.
They levitated turkey legs and then lost a feud.
Well, you know, maybe if you have the power to levitate turkey legs, you need to be in a feud with the Fiend. That seems right up his alley.
This isn't a bad move at all.
But before we move on too far, I do want to give a shout out. We have a super chat from Brian Cyrus who says, think I'll follow the brilliant move that Matt and Glenn did and just say screw Raw and just tune into the Wrestling Inc. podcast afterwards for the recap. Well, hey, I can't say that's a bad idea because you're tuning in here, so it works for me. Then we have Colin Christopher Chase, CA1399. Thank you, Colin. Appreciate
that.
Now, moving on.
We'll get to this now, but
I missed this. Oh, perfect. Yeah, can someone explain how Charlotte's promo was different topic-wise than any other promo she's done? That's a great question. You know what? We talk about returns. I say the queen has returned, and I think she looked amazing. And I don't know how you guys feel about her, but and I don't really care what your opinion is. For my money, I think she's the greatest women's wrestler of all time. So I'm glad she's back. And I think she's right. I think she should have been at WrestleMania. We'll look back on this WrestleMania forever and say, hey, why wasn't Charlotte at that one? Just like we do whenever Triple H misses one. And yes, I'm putting her in that conversation. I'm glad she called out everyone. She's the best in the world. Am I crazy for liking Charlotte Flair, Raj?
I agree with you. I think Charlotte is, or she's up there. I think her and Sasha's definitely in the conversation as well right now, I think. I think Charlotte's great. I think she has, you know, the promo ability, just the way she handles herself. She just carries herself like a superstar, which is something you can't really teach. And I like that she came back and clearly established herself as a heel, because they've been kind of doing that tweener thing with her where she's kind of a baby face, kind of a heel. She's giving a heel promo and then she's buddy buddy with Asuka. It just didn't jive. And I thought her character was confusing. So I like that tonight they just went full heel. She's best in that role. She does it perfectly. So I was good with this.
Yeah, I think some people just have star power, and I think she does. Dan, do you agree with Charlotte, or do you think she's, as some people would say, overrated?
I think Charlotte's great. I like the promo content-wise, you're right. It wasn't, or whoever was tweeting or whatever was right in that content-wise, it wasn't that different, but she actually delivered it like a heel, and she hasn't really been delivering promos like a heel, and she's clearly just so much more comfortable as a heel than she is a baby face. She's so much more comfortable, calling out like the injustices of her not getting booked, even though she's clearly, you know, their top draw or their top, who they think is the top wrestler. Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the promo. I thought it was good. I don't know. Again, I guess in this feud, it's going to be that Asuka's the baby face and Rhea and Charlotte are both heels. Is that what it seems like they're planning, like a triple threat for Backlash or something? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's chat about it. Rhea Ripley and Asuka, they had a rematch backstage. Kevin Patrick was chatting with Rhea Ripley, and I thought she said New World Order at first. I didn't hear it all the way, and I was all up in a tizzy because I am a huge New World Order fan. Turns out she said like Brutal World Order. So I was I felt a little lied to, but it all worked out in the end. He kind of snuck up on Asuka, and I have no idea what Asuka said, but I love her energy, so I was okay with it. I do feel like I've never been a fan of the rematch after a pay-per-view. I feel like it just makes the pay-per-view feel less special. So I wasn't really a fan of this, but I was thinking we kind of owe WWE an apology. A year ago, we were like, Rhea Ripley's buried. She's done. She's never going to be anything. Yet here she is, a world title win at WrestleMania, the champion, looking like a star, looking like she's going to be mixing it up with maybe Charlotte Flair again, maybe Asuka again, maybe a three-way again. I'm loving where this is going. I think Rhea Ripley has everything to be the next generation's biggest star. And I think, frankly, and I know this is a big, big statement, I think her and Bianca Belair are going to be the Stone Cold Rock of the women's division in 10 years. Raj, do you think I'm overreaching?
That is some high praise. That is setting some high expectations. We'll see. I mean, I think... I will say this, Rhea Ripley tonight, I think they had her reading off of cue cards or something. I don't know, if you go back and watch her promo, it was bad. Like, the stuff they scripted for her was not good at all. I thought it was a bad way to follow up with the momentum she had from WrestleMania. And then this match wasn't that good either. Charlotte interfering kind of saved it. So it was an off night, I thought. What'd you think, Dan?
You know, it's really hard to get somebody to The Rock and Austin's level with scripted promos. It's tough. But if there's two people that could do it, you know, maybe it would be them. But yeah, it's just, you're just not going to be able to get, the quality of writer that's going to be able to write those type of promos that are amazing every week. And I mean, you have some talented writers there, but it's just, to create like promos like The Rock and Austin. Like, you either naturally have to have that in you, or you have to have the best writers. And, you know, WWE's not union, so they're not, they're just not going to hire, like, the whole team isn't going to be the best. I mean, I'm not bad or good. That's just how it is. So, yeah, that's my roundabout answer.
Yeah, it's I mean, I know it's a big statement, but I don't know. I look at them and I think I want to buy their action figure already. I don't know. I'm not even an action figure guy, but I think that they stand out. They look cool. I could see people love them. I could see them on the cover of things. But we do have a few super chats. Jax Callens, and let me know if I'm pronouncing that right. Hey, Jack, my first time watching the podcast. What was your highlight of Mania altogether? Thank you. Cheers. I have two answers. One, seeing Bobby Lashley win. I'm a huge Bobby Lashley fan, and I don't think anyone thought he was going to win. So when he won, I was super pumped about it. Number two, though, I think just emotionally, I think the Bianca Belair win for me, like, she is so good at having that, like, her emotional response be just infectious with the people watching her. So as she was, like, tearing up, like, I wanted to tear up. I was like, this is such a special moment. I loved it. You guys, do you have any quick top, you know, Dan and Raj, any quick top moments from Mania this weekend? Individual moments?
I would definitely say the Bianca Sasha match is my number one, and every, you know, it's like a tie for me on what match was second, but it was just a phenomenal, like, probably the best in-ring main event they've had since, I mean, at least Roman Lesnar, and probably even, it probably was better than that. So yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I had mentioned this on the podcast last night, but I watched that with my daughters, and it's the first time they watched a match in like a year, and they were so into it, just and that got me even more into it. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was the best thing of the week by far, and one of my favorite things this year.
Yeah, I think it ranks right up there with the Kofi Mania and Daniel Bryan and all that stuff. But Krana Shaw says, if anything, Charlotte saved this match, LOL. I think Charlotte makes everything better, so I'm going to agree with you. And then Robert Sadoff says, Jack must be on WWE's payroll with how good he thought it was. His enthusiasm for Raw was honestly more exciting than Raw itself, LOL. I will say thank you for the complimentary comments about my enthusiasm. I like wrestling. I'm an easy to please person, I guess. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the show. The two new guys are better than Glenn, as said Bid Moon. Glenn is an awesome dude. I got your back, Glenn. Don't worry. It's all teamwork makes the dream work.
I can't bury Glenn. He got me on the show.
So let's move on with the show. Alexa Bliss with a promo basically explaining to a degree what happened at WrestleMania. And I'm going to tell you why I liked it. Okay, I know I like everything, but people love The Fiend. They love Bray Wyatt. Look, I know
you liked on the show.
I know.
I can't give you this one, Jack.
No, so everything. Look. I'll admit, I did not like how things went with The Fiend at WrestleMania. I felt like that was a fast lane style ending. But what I liked about this is because everyone loves Bray Wyatt. Everyone loves The Fiend, but The Fiend doesn't seem to work when he's working with other people. But if Alexa Bliss becomes the evil character that is now sending these evil things to stop The Fiend can finally be the good guy that is now defending us, the WWE universe, from Alexa Bliss, instead of trying to have guys like Braun Strowman, who are straight up normal guys, in these weird paranormal situations. This lets him be The Fiend, I think. And I think this is going to be a gateway to what he's always wanted to be. That's why I liked it. Now, am I crazy? Dan, you're going to say I'm crazy. Let me hear it.
I don't understand what that promo was. I thought the whole thing, it wasn't like, you know, Alexa and The Fiend, they didn't have a relationship like, okay, like the Million Dollar Man and Virgil, right? Where like the Million Dollar Man is constantly treating Virgil like crap. Can we curse on this or not? I forget.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so he's constantly treating him like shit. And then finally Virgil, you know, enough is enough, and I'm gonna beat this guy. I'm gonna beat this guy's ass. Like Bray Wyatt in the beginning last summer, he gave her sister Abigail once. But besides that, they seem to have been getting together pretty well. So like the whole thing of like I'm gonna, you know, use my evil to beat his evil, it's just a story that like it wasn't a story they were telling.
Right.
And I understand that they kind of have to reverse engineer it now. So they're like, well, okay, we ended it last night. We have to have some, you know, reasoning for why, you know, she turned his back on Bray, even though she didn't really, she just leaked and he checked it out. Like the way that Bray lost the same way that Drew lost to Bobby Lashley. They both got distracted by some dumb bullshit, and then they lost, you know. In both cases, like, you know, like Randy and Lashley. I mean, Randy and Lashley didn't look like they were cheating. They looked like, you know, they beat two people. So I don't know. I didn't really, you know, I don't know. Does this mean we're going to see like an Alexa Bliss like
fiend match?
But then we have another
the running mascara Alexa match
Bliss in this women's division. We have like, you know, the out of the top four people now, three are heels. And I don't know. I felt like if they wanted to change her, she should have either gone back to babyface or they should have, you know, not turned Rhea.
Yeah, I think she should have just been like, I've been messing with you, just getting my revenge this whole time, and then go back to old Alexa and leave it at that. This fiend stuff, I think, has been just so bad. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse. I thought this Alexa stuff was just beyond silly. I don't know. I hated this stuff from beginning, and I hate it splitting up into two and possibly taking up even more TV time. So
let's be honest. The reason this whole fiend Alexa Bliss thing became a thing is that a lot of WWE fans look at themselves like the fiend. Okay. They all dress like the fiend when they go to like Korn concerts or whatever the hell they do. Okay. And then you have some real hot chick that they could never get in real life. But Bray Wyatt is the fiend is with this hot chick. And they think that maybe they could get that too. Even though in real life, she's just with like a shitty singer songwriter, you know, but like, you know, the fiend is hopefully he's not on the show.
he's behind you.
He's right behind me. Yeah. John Mayer cover. My ears start bleeding. Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah. So we got some super chats here. I have no Leonza Duncan says, I have no reason to watch Raw besides from being a wrestling fan. They broke up Hurt Business, killed Fiend, broke him and Alexa up, makes Riddle look dumb. I mean, I can't argue with that. I like the episode, but I can't argue. You're right about all those things. They did break up the Hurt Business, and they've kind of killed the Fiend, and they broke up Alexa and him, and Riddle did look dumb. So
you can't disagree with any of that.
You're right. In a court of law, you win. Then we go on, and let me know if I'm pronouncing it wrong. Leonza Duncan adds as well, but still not 2000 WCW bad. Raj, LOL.
Well, that's new levels, you know. Hopefully, that's not something you should strive to get to.
I'd be more impressed than anything. Brandon Hall says, so let's get this straight. They kick Cedric and Shelton out of the Hurt Business to replace them with Mace and the Predator Reject. Really, no reason they screwed the pooch with Bray, aka the Fiend. We'll talk a little bit about Mace and T-Bar a little bit later, but I agree. I mean, I'm not super happy with how things went with the Fiend. In fact, it even felt like he kind of just tried to say, let's pretend all the other stuff with Orton didn't happen in his promo individually later in the night. But
does that seem, is this Bray coming back? Is there no more Fiend? Or
what I hope mean? So. I mean, I don't like him wrestling in the sweater and stuff, but I'm all in for taking a break from the Fiend for a while.
Yeah, I thought his promo alone for his Firefly Funhouse felt very much like he was like, oh, yeah, that stuff doesn't count anymore. We're just going to start over.
We'll get to that. But I did like that.
Stacy, give shout out Stacy for the super chat as well. Pumpkinhead Neo Akira says maybe Alexa is secretly Papa Shango. Well, that'd be a win, right?
That would be sweet. It'd be something.
Jax Callens asks, Jack and Dan, what got you into wrestling? Raj brought up Mania X ladder match. The pay-per-view alone is what made me a fan ever since. For me, I was a fan like most of my life, But what really got me invested, honestly, was the NWO and them coming over to WCW. And then is Sting going to join? That whole thing really got me into it. Dan, how about you?
Well, it was right around WrestleMania 10. It was the Royal Rumble where Bret and Luger won together. And I really liked that finish. And no, that was also where, like, Yoko killed The Undertaker and he went up to heaven, which, you know, looks ridiculous in hindsight, but I don't know, man. When I was a kid, I thought it was a blast. So right around that time period, I agree with you, Jax. Jax.
Okay. Yeah. Jax. And for me, it was the Hogan-Andre feud, and then WrestleMania 10 kind of got me back into it. I was starting to lose interest, and it kind of got me back into it, then lost it again. But
that's how wrestling goes. You kind of come in and out of it, I think.
Then
Pumpkinhead says, I think you mean Marilyn Manson and Nine Inch Nails. I think he's referring to the concerts that the wrestling fans go to.
Marilyn Manson will take anything he can get, right?
Right.
And then Stacy says Lashley should hold the title until next WrestleMania. Stacy, I agree with you. I love Lashley. I want him to hold on to it forever.
That's a long time in wrestling terms.
It is, and I reserve the right to change my mind at any moment.
I mean, I could see Roman. I could see Roman holding that title if they want to. If they have something in mind like Brock or The Rock, which, you know, we've speculated on forever, then it makes sense to not beat him.
Lashley's run will last as long as MVP's promos stay interesting. You know, like, I think that's one of the reasons that Brock was able to keep going is that he had Heyman there to, you know, keep selling these types of matches. And MVP has done a really good job of that. You know, he's not Paul Heyman, but nobody is. So, like, I think that – I really think that WWE Creative should let MVP script his own promos and see kind of what happens. Because, you know, Lashley's kind of limited in what he can do promo-wise. And you know, he's very good at playing, like, you know, the pissed-off monster. But, no, there's not – as we saw with the Lashley and Sami Zayn sisters angles – he's not really good with the comedy stuff or like the personal stuff, like talking about his family. It's just, that's just not what you want to see out of Bobby Lashley. So it really, you know, MVP's got to really sell us on different feuds for this to work in the same way Heyman used to sell. You know, Heyman would make us, like, you know, interested to see a match with Finn Balor where you knew there was no way that Finn was going to win, but right. You know, Heyman built it up, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, both MVP and Heyman have been amazing. Now, speaking of things that are amazing, I have a feeling you guys are going to say this wasn't amazing. I didn't think it was really amazing either, but I get why it happened. It was the Miz, Morrison, and Maryse segment of the night. I wanted to say first, Morrison not seeming to know what's going on, that's how you write a character that seems stoned all the time. I feel like Morrison acts more like a stoner than Riddle does most of the time, just being kind of like oblivious to what's happening. But I guess that's a side thing. I thought this thing
where they think that, like, I don't know, like pot is like mushrooms or something, that you should do that.
Yeah.
Like newsflash, I'm smoking pot while we talk to you guys, and I'm able to put a sentence together, you know, like it's not crystal meth. It's not like I'm going to wake up, you know, naked at a Kmart, you know, it's funny. What pot is.
I had tweeted that exact same thing last week with the birds. It's like, are they confusing pot with shrooms?
Yeah. Or PCP? Cause this is like, I just don't, and also like, I know Matt Riddle in real life smokes a lot of pot and I've been around Riddle and he's chill. He's just like a normal guy, which is like if you smoke a lot of pot, it's not like alcohol where when you drink a lot, you just become nastier and more belligerent. But, you know, with pot, you kind of develop a tolerance after a while. So you appear more normal.
Yeah. I've never understood the birds or anything like that. But as far as Morrison goes and Miz, the promo aspect of this, I think, was clearly just an excuse for them to show some pictures of Bad Bunny doing cool moves. And anyone who didn't watch WrestleMania but wanted to figure out what happened with him could see it. And then, of course, pitch Miz and Mrs. and all that fun stuff. So it felt a little – it was like a commercial, but whatever, it got its point across. I think the main thing here is I think Damian Priest still came out looking like a star in their match. And I think as far as the way it went, Miz pinning him with his pants down and his feet on the ropes is like a perfect way for a Miz character to get a win in that situation. And now I want to see Damian Priest get his one-on-one. So it wasn't like in a vacuum on its own a great moment, but I think it did what it needed to do in this case. Am I being too forgiving, Raj?
I wouldn't have beaten Damian Priest tonight coming off of WrestleMania. It was a high profile match, you know, and you know, this is his first pinfall loss on the main roster. Again, when you're talking about building momentum and things like that, I felt like this was not the night for him to get pinned. I'm not saying he should never get beat or no one should ever get beat or anything like that. But I just felt like coming off of that, he should have given Damian Priest a win against somebody. It doesn't have to be the Miz or Morrison, but give him a showcase win and keep building him up because he's a star. You know?
Yeah, I'm going to bounce off what you said. And I don't think that they should have had him lose tonight, mostly because, you know, I thought that Bad Bunny match was great, and I thought like Miz and Morrison and Bad Bunny did a great job, but Damian Priest was clearly injured in that match, so he was actually the least impressive person physically in that match. Like, he's not bulletproof yet, so that was my issue with it. And I thought, like, you know, the last couple weeks of promos have been really strong. This week, it was like they gave the material they gave him. Like, one of the things that he said was, like, a real man doesn't take, you know, credit for other people's accomplishments. And it's like, that's just like, I don't know. That's like something my dad would say in the 1950s, you know? Like, clearly, it didn't feel like a Damian Priest line. It felt like, you know, like an Atticus Finch or Danny Taylor line or something. So I wish that, you know, they would either figure out how to write for some of these guys or just, like, let them. And they do. I mean, like, well, you'll get SmackDown. It's like Roman's promos, you know. It's they're phenomenal. But I just don't think that, like, WWE Creative has figured out Damian Priest's voice yet. And hopefully they can do it. Because the last thing we want to do is to give him the generic promos that killed Roman's babyface run.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely agree with that, because he's supposed to be a rock star. At least he was on NXT, like the kind of guy that hangs out at the Viper Room and parties with Guns N' Roses all night.
The whole promo should have been him flirting with Maurice and Maurice being kind of into it. I'm serious.
That would be great. Yeah,
that would be, you know, that's easy. You know, like, oh, this hot guy is dangerous guy, very different than the Miz. But instead, they made Maurice book the handicap. It was just very, it was a little bit ass backwards.
You know, they tried something similar to that with Lashley and Lana and Rusev, and it didn't get a lot of positive feedback, though.
Yeah, but like, where's the sex appeal in that love triangle? You know what I mean? Like, Damian Priest is a cool guy. Like, there's nothing about Lashley or Rusev that I'm like, oh, this guy's got game, you know?
Yeah. And then I think, you know, another thing that I thought it made Damian Priest look kind of like a dope when he's out there accepting a handicap match and then he's, you know, wrestling the guys in suits and still gets beat, you know, gets outsmarted. You know, accepting a challenge like that. I don't know. I just felt like it made him look kind of stupid.
Yeah, and by the way, like, flirting, they would have flirted. I wouldn't like Lana to, like, or like Maurice to start, like, dry humping Damian Priest on a cake in the middle of the ring. It's like
We're not going to have a Maurice Damian Priest wedding at SummerSlam.
Yeah, we don't need that. Right.
I'm not saying they shouldn't do that either. I'm just saying no. Let's stay away from that. Stacey,
and it was great seeing Maurice again. By the way,
Yeah, Maurice is awesome. Stacey has a super chat as well. Says, Chad said, repackage the Fiend as a face, make him invincible again, and take Roman down. Chad is your biggest fan, Wrestling Inc. So
thank you, Stacey and Chad.
Thanks, Stacey and Chad.
If they bring the Fiend back without the magic, I'm cool with it. Again, that Finn, you know, the Fiend that debuted against Finn Balor at SummerSlam years ago, that was awesome. This Fiend has just, with the goo and stuff, you know, being set on fire, that stuff has just sucked.
I get a lot of stuff for being the positive guy. I've not been a huge Fiend fan myself. I agree with you. I think they kind of broke him with that Hell in a Cell, and ever since, I feel like I've never really bought back in. personally. I feel like I've tried to give him some credit. I've been like, okay, maybe this is what it'll be. Kind of like today, where I'm like, hopefully this is a pivot for him. But I don't remember any of his feuds where I was like, that's the one. That was the really good rivalry he had. They're all kind of like, I feel like every time I'm like, yeah, this isn't it.
Yeah. They should be studying whatever Kevin Owens did with him in that match on Raw, because that's the best feed match I've seen, and just copy that. Use that as a template.
Yeah, there was one with Daniel Bryan too that was really good for the Fiend. I think those were the only two that this whole time that I would say were good matches.
And even the Daniel Bryan one was still, you know, like it was a strap match. It was still a little slow and prodding, but it was rough.
And to be fair, you're expected to have a good match when you're in a match with Daniel Bryan as well. That's like saying his match with HBK was pretty good. Well, of course. Of course it was.
Chris Masters.
So, moving along, we had Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax having a match with Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. As far as the build up to this match goes, if you want to call it anything, I thought it was simple and kind of silly. I kind of liked that they pointed fun at the slip, and I kind of liked that Nia Jax made fun of the recap for something that happened 20 minutes earlier.
That was funny.
I really enjoyed that. What I hated, this was something I hated. I hated that the team that we're supposed to love and sympathize with and want to win basically just gave up and left a tag team title match. Or I can't even remember if this is for the titles, but the tag team champs. I'm thinking, in what world, if there's a matchmaker out there, would you ever give them a title shot again, knowing they just walked away in the middle of a match for no reason, really, other than they got scared? To me, that
I totally agree with your logic, but I've been so bored by the Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Dana Brooke, Mandy Rose matches that by how awkwardly it ended, I was like, all right, well, that was at least interesting. Like, if I gave a shit about the match, I would probably be furious that that's how it ended. But because, like, this is literally the 13th time they fought, and each time it seems like it's less important than the last, I was like, well, at least that was... We've never seen that in wrestling. At least I had that thought. You know, someone just be like, take a moral victory and leave. We haven't seen that, so.
I don't know. I thought they went full honky tonk man here. That's a talk.
I gotta grab my charger.
Yeah, I mean that is. I mean, to your point, that's a total heel move. Baby faces don't just say, I'm done here. So yeah, I mean, just the booking of that was kind of ass backwards, but. I didn't like this segment.
I mean, what bothered me too is I've always been a sympathizer for Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke because they look like a tag team, and this is a division that has no tag team. So I've always wanted them to do well, and I feel like I almost felt betrayed the way they had this opportunity and they just threw it away. But what you're gonna do, I guess.
This doesn't make me want to see a rematch. That's for sure.
No, I don't want to see them have matches at all. They gave up. It wasn't like they were the champs and said, right, we're going to leave to keep the titles. It was like, wins aren't that important. But
yeah, I agree. It made no sense to me. But to your point, I get what you're saying too, Dan, was that was at least I'll remember that finish.
Oh yeah. At least I was like, I was like, wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
That was literally my reaction was, okay, all right.
I do want to give a little tip of the hat, though, to Nia Jax. I've not been necessarily the world's biggest Nia Jax fan, but I like that she's okay kind of being a goof and, like, slipping and doing stupid stuff to do whatever she needs to do, I guess. Like, so kudos to her.
That's for Kari Sane's neurologist.
So, what was that?
Tell that to Kari Sane's neurologist.
Oh yeah.
Jeez.
Let's move on. I don't think anyone was super
joke impressed. Would be less funny when there's a documentary on CTE in 20 years and Kari Sane is in it. Keep going, sorry.
Right. Yes. We'll all remember this joke too, Dan.
Yeah, we'll all remember from this wrestling podcast, the Monday after WrestleMania 37.
Hey, man, sometimes those clips have a funny way of just coming back.
At the worst possible times, too. So we got a promo, the one that we alluded to earlier, probably should have started the show. Bobby Lashley, MVP, Hurt Business stuff. MVP, I think he's a treasure on the microphone, and yeah, he has one of the best pocket squares in the game. I loved how he's like, hey, if Drew McIntyre can't handle the pressure of the Hurt Lock, who can? I mean, it was just a very valid statement. And I like the back and forth. I like that Braun got added in. I think Braun deserves a world title shot. He did just beat the best in the world, by the way, and Randy Orton as well. So I like that they set this match up. I like that they're the contenders. They all feel like they should be contenders. They all just got wins. Well, not Drew, but they're all up there. I like the setup for this. I kind of agree, Dan, with what you were saying. Maybe this should have been at the beginning so they could have built up to it throughout the night. Raj, how did you feel about it?
I agree with you. I liked it. You know, like, I like that you have to wrestle to get a title shot. And it made the main event have stakes. It made it important. It made it matter. So I liked it. And you could make a point for any of those three guys to win. I mean, you could make a point for Braun. You could make it for Orton and obviously Drew. So, you know, I thought this was well done.
As far as now, Dan, you had mentioned you wanted it earlier on the show. Do you think while it should have been earlier, possibly, do you think the promo itself did what it was supposed to do? Did you like who was in it? Did you like who they had set up for this?
Yeah, I do. I like the fact that Drew said I made a mistake. I don't think that I wouldn't have booked the match that way 2 days ago, but at least it, you know, it fits in with his character of being like this honest babyface champion. I think Orton, you know, I like the promo because I was just like, thank God this program's over. You know, right. Like, yeah. That's basically what his promo was. And yeah. Braun has definitely, you know, he's gotten better on the mic. I haven't seen him cut a heel promo unless it's on Twitter. So, but we'll see.
Really? I've seen Braun. I feel like Braun's promos have gotten worse. Like, it's like in the last,
four or five months. Like the last week, but like, no, like the earlier on, I mean, the stuff with him and Shane in the beginning was just torture. Yeah.
I mean, Braun, I feel like they keep tweaking him, but making him worse, you know, with his gear. Now he's got the Truth Commission gear and his yelling with the promos. Yeah. It just, he was the hottest thing in the company like 3 years ago.
Yeah. He dresses like he's about to raid Nancy Pelosi's office. You know, we have that look.
That's true.
Also, kids at home, never trust a man with two nipple rings, all right? Never trust a Republican with two nipple rings. There's some weird thing going on there.
But one nipple ring is okay.
One nipple ring, you know. I mean,
it's like the ear piercing.
One nipple ring is tasteful.
Yeah.
I can't follow that up. So we'll just move on to the next segment. Elias and Riker versus the New Day. I thought that their promo was fun. I loved him trying to play the guitar, but the sound of the trombone coming through. I thought their promo back and forth was fun. The match was even fun. For me, though, just Elias and Riker are just so undangerous, I guess, because the opposite of dangerous. They never win. I never expected them to win. I feel like they have everything on a piece of paper. If you checked off the box, they have everything, but they never win. So I felt like the outcome of this match was never in question. But as it was, it seemed fine. And I'll be honest, I was kind of excited. We had four different tag teams that weren't the champs on one show. So I thought that was kind of a good sign for the tag team division. Dan, how did you feel about Elias and Riker going up against the New Day?
I like the horn thing in the beginning. I thought that was fun. Is that the first time they've done that?
That I can remember, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. You know, there's only so much of a match. You know, like, I think, you know, Kofi's a great worker. Xavier Woods is a good worker. But there's only so much you can get out of Riker and Elias. I mean, Elias is two left feet. I think he's a really strong promo and he's got a ton of presence. But, you know, it just always looks rushed whenever he's wrestling. I think it's interesting, you know, you were saying that Braun's promos have gotten worse. I actually think Elias's wrestling has somehow gotten worse, which, you know, like, cause really when he started out, you know, like I really thought he was going to be, you know, and how they were positioning him with Cena. And it's like, all right, well, this guy can talk like Cena, so maybe he'll be able to figure it out in the ring like Cena did. Because, you know, Cena has that two left feet thing too, but he just hasn't been able to tell a story for whatever reason.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. And then Jackson Ryker, I feel like, because Elias has a ton of charisma, and I think Ryker...
Speaking of Nancy Pelosi's office. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the transition. That's what I should...
I was waiting for it. But Ryker, he kind of like sucks the charisma away from Elias. Like, he makes him less charismatic by being out there with him. No, yeah. I don't know. The pairing doesn't work.
Black hole charisma.
Yeah, exactly. This pairing
would
is doing
be like a. It would be great in a movie about like a Nazi biker bar, but not a wrestling.
I mean, to his credit, he's definitely got a look. Like, he looks like if you were just flipping through the channels and you saw him, you'd be like, that guy looks like a scary pro wrestler.
Yeah, he does. He's got a great look.
And yeah, I think. I don't know. I feel like on paper that team should work, but again, it just when you never win and you seem to get beat up by everybody, it becomes hard to take you seriously after a while. But again, maybe it's good for the tag team division. We got a couple of super chats. John Cena's bald spot says, "I agree with Raj. I like the idea of having to fight for a shot at the title, but I feel like WWE makes it too predictable. The person that just lost the title always wins, and they get their rematch." I mean, that's true in this case, but I mean, it is better than just saying I want a rematch. It gives us content, gives us a match, right?
Yeah, it's just going to be interesting to see how they're going to, you know, this is going to be 5 weeks of programming. This is going to be their top feud, and I wonder how they're going to make us want to see this, because, you know, Drew just lost decisively. So, you know, they're really going to have to rekindle some interest again.
And do they have Drew lose again? Because to me, it doesn't make sense to beat Lashley now after he, you know, you just booked him so strong at Mania.
Especially if you're getting Lesnar back. You know, the match at SummerSlam you want is Lashley-Lesnar. It's not Lesnar-Drew.
Right.
Right. So we also got a super chat from Sheed Black. Thank you so much, Sheed. And we have Brian Outen saying, why is WWE still having Alex and Fiend gimmick or Alexa and Fiend gimmick? Still going, let it go. I mean, for whatever, I'm not a big fan of it, but honestly, if you look at Twitter and things, people seem to love it. So I always feel like I'm the minority in that situation because people seem to love The Fiend whenever I talk to people.
Dude, one of the reasons they're going to be so hesitant to give that up is, you know, the most important thing about Alexa's promo is that at the end of it, there was a new doll that you were going to be able to buy on the WWE shop in 3 months from now. And that's the thing about The Fiend is, like, he keeps having, like, new crazy shit. So that's new shit for these weirdos to buy online. Like, that's why they keep going back to the creepy well.
There was that belt he had that was, like, it was like $7,000 or something like that on WWE shop. They made something like 50 collectible items. And, yeah, there was I'm forgetting exactly how much it was now, but it was something ridiculous. I might even be low.
Wow. Yeah, it was insanely high. It was like one of those, like, guess how high it is, and you have to guess like a bunch of times because it was.
I
think it was like 7,000. And now it's probably on eBay for like $30.
What serial killer used to buy the Fiend fanny pack? Could you imagine taking your family to the aquarium and taking the ticket to that fucking monstrosity? Jesus Christ!
Imagine you have a date and you bring someone home for the first time and that's on your wall.
Yeah. Fanny pack.
Yeah, or she's like, yeah, let's hook up, and you're like, great, you turn the lights off, and then she turns them on and you're wearing a mask. You're like, I didn't sign up for that.
Jax Callens asks, Raj, your shirt, I've been on you for how long now about Wrestling Inc. merch? Ask chat how many would buy a shirt. I'm sure a lot. Get that merch out. Let's go. I agree with Jax, Raj. Where do we buy one of those shirts?
Yeah, man. You know what? Next year is our 25th anniversary, so we're going to do a bunch of new shirts and stuff coming out this summer. This shirt you could get at ProWrestlingTees/WrestlingInc. But the plan is to have some new stuff out.
Very cool. Well, there you have it. Keep your eyes peeled for that. I know I'm going to be looking for that once it's available. Sam Austin says, Only have automatic title rematches when the title is won via dubious circumstances. If the title is won clean, no rematch. Simple. Well, my question is, was there dubious circumstances when Lashley won it? Because, I mean, technically, no one got involved. I mean, MVP yelled, but is that really dubious? I don't know.
I thought that's about as clean as you get for a heel beating a top babyface.
Yeah.
In WWE.
Yeah. Agreed. Let's go ahead and we'll get to the last part here. We have Drew versus Braun versus Orton. I'm biased. I love Randy Orton. I wanted him to win this. I want him to break the world record of title holders, but I kind of get it. We got another Drew versus Bobby Lashley down the road. It is WrestleMania backlash, so it makes sense that this is a WrestleMania rematch. Plus, I think that maybe a Braun versus Orton rivalry might be interesting to see play out for a little bit. Dan, do you think the right guy won? Did you like the match and all the shenanigans that happened with the former what is their team called again? I've already lost it off the top of my head. Retribution guys get involved.
Former Retribution. I like the finish. I like the, you know, the Claymore after the RKO. I thought that was fun. I have no problems with Drew and Lashley as the next feud. I think the thing that I was scared about was that in that Bray promo, the last thing he said was like, was referencing something big and strong. And if that means they're doing Bray and Braun again, I mean, I'm going to jump off a bridge. I really hope that that's all. I just hope that, like, I read too much into that and I have PTSD. So we don't get another like Swamp Thing match or whatever the fuck that was. But you know, as far as, you know, again, it's like now they have a month to make me interested in this match again. And, you know, they're both, you know, really good in the ring and I think they can do it, but it's just a question of how they do it.
Yeah. I will say this. I crap on The Fiend a lot, but I did like the Firefly Funhouse segment with Bray. I thought it was pretty entertaining.
Those are always good, even if you don't like The Fiend. Like, right. Those are always great. It's just what they lead to is some right. self-care.
But, yeah, if it, you know, if this leads to just Bray coming back as Bray, change, you know, get new attire, don't wrestle in the sweater, I think that would be a welcome break for me. But to your point with the main event, I liked it. I'm all for Drew winning. I kind of wish Orton would have won. I'm kind of with you on that. I felt like it would have mixed it up a little bit instead of, you know, we've been doing Drew and Lashley for a while now. But it'll be good. The one thing I didn't like is that T-Bar and Mace. And I think you got to repackage them or something because Lashley standing there with T-Bar and Mace is not, I don't know, to me that doesn't look cool. Whereas Lashley standing with the Hurt Business did when they all had their suits and they look like the Horsemen. And with T-Bar and Mace, it just looks goofy, right?
Yeah,
I think it kind of brings them down.
I agree 100%. I thought the original Hurt Business was the coolest looking thing in pro wrestling and exactly what gets young viewers to be like, that's cool. I want to be part of that group. I would have been okay personally with them coming out if they took their masks off afterwards right. and were like, okay, now we're throwing this away and we're going to be something new. But yeah, them, to use the analogy, it feels like a cool basketball player hanging out with two corn guys. If we're going to continue that analogy, it doesn't, I don't believe for a second.
I thought you said two corn guys for a second, but that works too. They do have like weird S&M real sex masks. Yeah. I mean, I guess this is better than Corbin, right? Dijakovic and Mace. I have no idea how good this Mace guy is in the ring. I really have no, because I mean, we've seen the matches with Retribution, but you really can't tell with that gimmick. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah. I think it'd be, Raj, to your point, I think they'd be so cool if they came out in awesome suits just like before or just like the other Hurt. Because now that we've crossed the bridge and Hurt Business is broken up, we got to move on. I'd be cool with them in suits if they like then repackage them like Hurt Business guys. But yeah, I can't. If they're not going to do that, then this is just silly.
Yeah, and Dio, you know, Mace, Dio Madden, he played for the NFL. He was drafted by the Texans. So he's got an athletic background. He's still green, but he's got the tools. He's got good size. He's got a good, cool look. So, and he was a lead commentator on Raw last year.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he could talk, right?
Or so, 2 years ago. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't that great as a commentator, but like, if you're able to do that at any level, then right. hypothetically, you should be able to cut a pretty good promo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully it works out, you know? I mean, I'm all for, you know, a new golden age of wrestling, so.
Yeah. Well, Brian Outen has a super chat for us. He asks if we noticed Nia Jax's slip and fall scene was not good. Shake my head. I did notice it. And that's why I actually got a little bit of respect for her from that, because I think she's willing to be kind of the dummy that slips on a banana peel, which I think is kind of cool to do. I mean, it's never the cool, it's never like the best role to have, but between her and the whole thing and then the slipping thing, like I think she's okay being the goof, and I can respect that.
I thought she did a good job with the slip. Like she made it look real, like legitimate. It didn't look overdone. This is just one of those things where Vince sometimes where he sees something funny that was organic and just, you know, drives it into the ground, and hopefully they're not doing this every week. Because
what happened to Reginald? He disappeared the second night of WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, you know, usually I don't want to speculate.
Yeah,
but the times we are in, a lot of times when people disappear, there's reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea, but I'm sure he'll be back in some way or shape or form. He's super entertaining, so he should be back. John Cena's bald spot says, "Why?"
Pulled the wrong one up. Let's do this one first. Walking Armageddon Lashley.
Walking Armageddon Lashley. Hey guys, here's Upside Raw. Isn't that bad? Worst show is WWE Main Event. An hour almost of highlights that you've seen all shows and one dang match. Yeah.
Main event. You don't need to watch Main Event. You know what I mean? Like, that's your problem. Like, there's so much wrestling now. Like, it's like you got Raw Monday, NXT Tuesday, Dynamite Wednesday, Impact Thursday, SmackDown Friday. Take Main Event off.
That's not counting NXT UK and ROH and MLW
and
Dark and Dark Elevation.
Awesome last Friday.
Right. Yeah, there's plenty of options out there for you. I think that's probably for one of those like TV deals for international markets or something. Raj, you probably know the business side of it more than I do. I just assume there's some sort of TV deal where they need to make content.
With Main Event, usually they have contracts for a certain amount of hours. I'm not sure if that's why Main Event's still around, but usually that's what it is.
And hey, if it's one match, it gets someone on TV. I mean, again, giving people time one way or the other, right?
Mojo needs the work.
Yeah, he's killing it on Main Event. John Cena's bald spot asks, why break up the Hurt Business just to give Lashley two more henchmen? That, I don't know. I loved Cedric and Shelton Benjamin. I agree. I think they should have kept them together, but here we are.
Yeah, I mean, he just doesn't, you know, Vince doesn't like small guys, man. It's just, you know, or old guys. And unfortunately, you know, Sheldon's old and Cedric is small. So
Cedric too is one of those guys that, again, I always think like, who looks cool? Like if I was sitting watching wrestling with someone who'd never watched wrestling before, Cedric is the kind of guy that people would say, that guy looks cool. That guy wrestles cool. What's his deal? So I don't know why he doesn't get more love. I've always loved Shelton Benjamin too. He's a lot bigger than we give him credit for. He's just about as big as Bobby Lashley is. I don't know why we don't give him credit for being a massive dude.
I didn't realize that Cedric and Big Swole are dating in real life. Did you guys know that?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I read that on some weird couples of wrestling blog. It should be right next to the suicide hotline, that blog. But.
George Devine, thank you for the super chat, but I don't think we could post that one.
No.
That super chat.
Yeah,
I mean, Shelton Benjamin, I mean, again, to what Dan said, I think it's more his age because, I mean, he's a legit athlete, legit stud. He used to team with Brock Lesnar back in the day. I think it's more his age. And Cedric, again, to Dan's point, Vince doesn't really like the smaller guys. Instead,
don't show up small, man.
Yeah. You know what's funny is we say smaller guys, but if you ever see these guys in person, they're all massive. Like, even the small guys are massive. It's crazy.
Like, I'm pretty sure Triple H hasn't told Vince who Adam Cole is.
Right.
Like, he's just like, I can't let him know about this guy.
No.
Or else he'll have him, like, come out of a fucking clown car.
Put him all right. There. Oh, I can only imagine what they'd do to Adam Cole. So keep him where he is.
Yeah.
He's killing it. He's awesome. I don't want him to be the next NXT casualty on the main roster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. He's one of those guys. I just think if you give Adam Cole a chance, he'll shine anywhere. But you're right. You got to get the chance. That's the there's a lot of guys I've said if you give them the chance, they'll shine anywhere. And they are not on TV right now. So I agree. I'd like to see him on NXT for as long as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that about covers it for Raw. I think we covered everything. Unless you guys have anything you want to add or any thoughts regarding Raw tonight?
Dan, anything else?
No, man. I'm excited to see SmackDown, and I'll just give my plug. Check out Wrestle Roast. We just roasted Hulk Hogan. We're roasting Shawn Michaels this Friday. Check us out.
Of course, like we mentioned earlier, we now have a Tuesday night podcast. So join us tomorrow night after SmackDown, then Wednesday after Dynamite. It's still Matt Morgan, Justin Labar, and Alfred Kanoa. And then Friday, still Issa, Matt Morgan, and Glenn Rubenstein. So a packed week. This is just the beginning. it's never ending. But Jack, did you have anything you wanted to plug?
Yeah, real quick, before we go, I do want to give a quick shout out to Brian Outen with one last super chat. Last one for Charlotte Flair. Got a spotlight for missing WrestleMania, you think? I think she is the spotlight. It doesn't matter what she does. The spotlight is wherever she is. You can find me on social media at RealJackFarmer across all social media. And you can find all my stuff there. That's usually the easiest way to do it. But I think that does it for us, guys. Thanks so much for chatting Raw. I know I loved it. You guys were maybe 50-50 on it. Maybe. thanks everyone in the chat for joining us. Thanks for chatting along. And we'll see you guys, I guess, Wrestling Inc. tomorrow, Tuesday, for the new NXT times.
Yeah. And it'll be Alfred Conway, Glenn Rubenstein, and Issa tomorrow night.
Perfect. We'll see you guys then.
Take care.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.